All right, good afternoon, everyone. Calling the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners, April 25th, 2025 meeting to order at 1:31 p.m. Looking to our agenda, our next item of business is roll call.
Christopher Daly.
Present.
Sean Williams. The connectivity issues. Charlene Marbs.
Present.
Shelley Donald.
Here.
Michael Corrente.
Here.
Alara Selman.
Here.
Myself, Shana Ganatra, Executive Director, and Mark Harris, our AG.
Here.
All right, considering we have established a quorum with all of our board members present today, moving on to agenda item 3, declaration of conflicts of interest. Do any members of the board have anything to declare at this time? Chris Daly, I have none.
Shelley Donald, I have none.
Charlene Marbs, I have none.
Mike Garanti, I have none.
Sean Williams, I have none.
Right, considering there are no conflicts to discuss, moving on to agenda item 4, discuss, amend, and approval of meeting minutes. We have item 4.1, the regular session meeting minutes of March 14th, 2025. All board members were present at that meeting. Those meeting minutes have been previously distributed. Any discussion or corrections pertaining to those meeting minutes? Hearing no discussion or corrections, I move to adopt the March 14th, 2025 meeting minutes as distributed.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 5 is our call to the public. And just
am I getting skipped on the calls because I didn't hear my name?
Oh, so sorry, Dr. Williams.
Mr. Williams, it's because during roster, we thought you were having connectivity issues. So just for the record, you were back on. At 1:34.
I am here. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Thank you.
Ms. Ganatra, do we need to go back to agenda item 4 or can we proceed?
I believe we had a quorum, so we'll include Mr. Williams for the future.
All right. Thank you. All right. Agenda item 5, call to the public. Quick reminder, this is an opportunity for any member of the public who is not on our agenda today to address the board. Or just so you know, we are not able to answer your questions during the meeting. However, if there is a follow-up item, board staff will follow up with you if necessary. Are there any public members who would like to address the board at this time? And I see a hand raised. And is, bear with me one second here. Is that Brooke? Yes, Brooke. Brooke, I don't think we can hear you. We see you, but we can't hear you.
The joys of technology.
Yes.
I saw the list of names to be considered for renewing of licenses. I had all of my application things in and finalized by the 4th of this month, and I got a notice of pending final review. And so I just would like my application to be considered at this board meeting. I know you can't answer those questions right now, but my license is set to expire May 11th, and the school that I'm contracted at does not accept letters of like continuance. So I just would like my license to be considered as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cox. The board will be in touch, and I recommend if you're able to stay on, you might find some helpful information at the end of the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Cox. Appreciate that. Anything additional from the public?
Hello.
Yes.
My name is Caitlin Vance, and I'm also an initial applicant. I'll be moving to Arizona as soon as I can, as long as my license gets approved. I also was not on the list to be discussed, but if I could, I would like to be. I know that mine's also pending approval.
Could you please repeat your name?
Caitlin Vance.
Vance,
V-A-N-C-E is last name.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Vance. The board will be in touch with you after the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anything additional from members of the public? I'll just give it a few more seconds so nobody misses their chance. All right, hearing nothing additional from the public, moving on to agenda item 6, review, discussion, and possible action on future board meeting schedule. We have 6A, May 9th, 6B, June 13th, in person, and 6C, July 11th. And I unfortunately do have a conflict on May 9th and was going to inquire if by any chance if May 16th would work for the group.
And Mr. Daly, that would work for the board if it works for all here on the call. Thank you.
As of now, that works for me, May 16th.
The same with me. This is Shelley.
Same with me.
This is Mike. That also works for me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Very appreciative of that. It is my son's graduation party, and I would have been in big trouble. How about June 13th and July 11th? Any conflicts that we know of now?
This is Mike. For July 11th, I have a wedding that day. Not mine.
Thank
Come
you,
on, you can Mr. zoom in for that. No.
I may have a conflict on July the 11th, but I need to double check dates before I say for sure.
Thank you, Ms. Marks.
Thank you. It is an in-person meeting. So as long as we have a quorum, we can hold that meeting. Otherwise, we can look at alternative dates. Thank we did book the boardroom in advance, and sometimes it is difficult to change. So earlier is better. So if that someone...
I'm sorry, are we talking about June 13th or the July meeting?
June 13th.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I thought we were talking about July 11th.
So was I. So did I.
That was too.
My apologies. Then disregard. Thank you.
Mr. Crency, was that July 11th for you?
Okay. July 11th, yeah.
Same here. July the 11th.
Thank you. So that is virtual.
Thank you, everyone. All right. Seeing there's no further discussion required. Here,
so I have a question. Are we waiting to make that decision, or I don't? Because I have conflicts some of the other, or are we just automatically going to reschedule that one?
It sounds like we'll have a quorum of three for the July 11th meeting.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
I'll be there.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much.
Oh, I would like to know, if I may, if anything changes, please let me know as soon as possible, and that way I can reschedule it. So.
Okay, will do.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if we could entertain a motion just to move the May meeting from the 9th to the 16th.
Certainly, Mr. Harris, I move to.
Thank you.
Sorry, I move to reschedule our May 9th, 2025 board meeting to May 16th, 2025.
This is Shelley. I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Charlene Marks.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. All right, moving on to agenda item 7. Review consideration and possible action on complaints, investigations, and compliance. We have 7A, initial review of complaint. The matter of 7A1, Patrick Bailey. Is Mr. Bailey here with us today?
I am present, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Is anyone in attendance with Mr. Bailey?
Yes, I am. Chanel Risk Tam as his attorney.
Thank you very much. And is the complainant in attendance today?
Mr. Daly, she was invited, but I am unsure if she's in attendance.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. And Mr. Bailey, if it's all right, what we typically do is take a look at our investigation report first and then give you an opportunity to address the board if you so choose. And then we'll have a little bit of discussion. So, Ms. Selman, would you like to present your investigation report?
Sure. I'll provide a brief summary. This report is regarding a complaint regarding Mr. Bailey, and Mr. Bailey was received a complaint from an individual by the name of
my notes aren't all the way up. Technology is fun.
from Miss Walter, and Mr. Bailey was accused of having an affair with his then employer, and it alleges that there was some mental and potential physical abuse by Mr. Bailey to Miss Walter, and this appears to have occurred in August of 2024. Okay, that's what I have at the moment.
Thank you, Ms. Selman. And Mr. Bailey, we did have quite a few documents, comprehensive packet to look through in preparation for the meeting. Would you or your counsel like to address the board at this time?
All I would say is just reiterate what we said in our response. We don't believe that these allegations are based in any kind of fact, and the evidence that was provided to us to support the complaint, we did not see how that evidence was relevant or substantiated the complaints whatsoever. So we would just rest on the fact that there is no basis to this complaint.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from board members? Hearing no questions or discussion, I would feel very comfortable moving to dismiss this complaint.
And I second that. This is Shelley.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Mr. Bailey, thank you so much for your time and attendance today and providing us with all of that information. We really do appreciate it and wishing you all the best.
No.
Thank you.
May I ask a question, please?
Yes, sir.
May I confer with my attorney, please?
Sure. Just give us one moment.
Certainly.
Thank you. I believe the question is, will the complainant be informed by letter of this dismissal?
I think I'm hearing if we are notifying that the complaint is dismissed and that no further information will be provided or no further action. We do indicate that as such. That there is no further action on the complaint.
Right. Thank you. Is that a letter to the complainant where they're notified of this?
So we do, if the complainant is requesting status of the complaint, it is public record. So we do provide the information as to the dismissal of the complaint, as well as to the respondent that the complaint has been dismissed by the board.
If they ask for it, or is it an automatic?
If I can't, Mr. Harris, is there, maybe there's a little bit more clarification you can provide that I haven't, that might be helpful.
Sure. I think the question is, Shane, is, you know, in these cases, do you automatically notify the complainant of the disposition of the case, or do you wait and to see if they ask? I'm not sure what your policy is on that.
So typically we wait, but I'm not sure if I'm missing the question in its entirety.
So
we don't automatically send. It's all public record, so we just.
So what I'm hearing, and then please correct me if I'm wrong, Shana, Ms. Risk, that it doesn't sound like the board automatically will send the complainant a letter that the case was reviewed by the board at its meeting on April 25th and dismissed it. However, if the complainant makes a public records request, they would receive the letter that will be sent to your client indicating that the matter has been dismissed. Is that correct, Shana?
Correct. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. And I believe I know the answer to the second question, but just to confirm for my client, there is nothing preventing a complainant from filing additional complaints, even though this initial complaint is dismissed. Is that right?
Generally, that's correct. What's going to happen, though, they're going to look at it to see if it raises any new information or if it's just a reorganization of information that has already been presented in determining what next steps to take.
Okay.
I'm able to explain why I am concerned.
Just a moment. All right, that's all we have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to agenda item 7A2, the matter of Kara Rice. Is Ms. Rice in attendance with us today?
Mr. Daly, board members, Ms. Rice was invited. However, do not believe she confirmed.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. And this is another matter that Ms. Selman performed an investigation. Ms. Selman, would you like to present your investigation report?
Absolutely. All right. So this complaint regarding Ms. Rice alleges that she potentially plagiarized content from her Brain and Sensory Foundations courses. The complaint details instances of plagiarism on Ms. Rice's website and emails and course materials. During the course of the investigation, when reaching out, Ms. Rice did express that she did believe that she had permission to present said information and that all parties were aware. This is the information I have.
Thank you, Ms. Selman.
You're welcome.
Mr. Daly, board members, though Ms. Rice is not in attendance, I believe the complainant, Ms. Story, is in attendance. Should further questions be needed.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Ms. Story, are you in attendance with us today?
Yes.
Would you like to address the board at this time to provide any additional context or information?
Yes. So when there is a printed copyright on a course manual, and the course manual says all rights reserved, and the copyright is registered with the U.S. government offices, that does not in other words, Kara Rice cannot provide any evidence that there was previous permission to present the material. And when I attempted several times to communicate with her, she responded one time, and she admitted that she did it and that she would take it down. After that, there was no response over several attempts by us and by our intellectual property rights attorney. And that is the reason why we're actually here today discussing this, because there was no response. So Kara is very aware that there was no prior permission and that I had several times communicated with her via email and through certified mail letter and through our attorney. And so it is absolutely untrue that Kara had permission to present the copyrighted materials in her emails and in her courses and also on her website. I also provided the board with evidence of the plagiarism, so that is well documented.
So this is Sean Williams, and after reading through it, did she take it down? Because the notes that I have indicate that she complied and took the material down.
She never took down the initial email in which she verbatim plagiarized. I had to go and write letters to MailChimp, which is her email provider, and their legal team eventually did take it down. It took quite a long time. I also asked her for a statement to write to her group, to her email group, letting them know that this was done in error. And I was very nice about it at the beginning, saying, just please explain that these are not your words, they're mine. And she never did that. She, as far as I understand, she did take some things off of her website, but she still included, because we had somebody sign up for her course and pay her fee, and she still had things that were plagiarized in her course. So that's my understanding of the course of events.
And Ms. Story, what type of resolution are you seeking in this matter at this point?
Well, I don't understand the authority that the board has, but I would certainly be I would certainly appreciate being educated on the authority that you have and what you would typically do in a case like this. I would also like a resolution where there is an acknowledgement, a written acknowledgement, and a apology from Kara Rice. And in an ideal world, I would like to have justice. But when we talked to our intellectual property rights lawyer, he said, you have a very clear case and it's very obvious, but if you took this to court, you would end up spending so much money that it wouldn't be worth doing. And so that was the advice that we got. And I asked Kara Rice to pay for our attorney fees and got no response. When I offered many different ways of possibly resolving this issue, again, I got no response. So what I would like to see is some kind of a written acknowledgement and apology. I would also think it would be in the best interest of everyone that somebody who is not following the ethical principles that are necessary to really do your job in a way that is with integrity, that when those ethics are not being followed and you've done things that are illegal, that you should be, you should have a at least a suspension of the license.
Thank you so much, Ms. Story. Appreciate your feedback and context there. Are there additional questions from board members?
I have a question. This is Shelley Donald. And I'm looking through, and again, we're just, you know, privy to what's given to us. It is, Alaris, in your investigation or anything else, all of this, as far as we know, is off of her either website or whatever social media platform she was using. Is that what I'm understanding?
As far as I could tell through my investigation, yes.
I have a question. Alaris, did you actually go into the training courses?
I did not.
Ms. Story, we allow the respondent to provide a response and reviewed that in addition to what was provided in the complaint for Ms. Salmon to make her determination and provide what she could to the board. Here, the board can make a further determination if what's provided is sufficient or if additional information is needed.
Thank you, Ms. Canatra.
Thank you.
I guess this you is were, a were question. You, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so you were informed by your legal team that this is more of a civil matter is what it seems like, because you're looking at the copyright issue. But she has not misrepresented herself as an occupational therapist, treating and working with the individuals.
No, I'm only claiming that she's out of integrity while she's working because she's using stolen material. So and that's incorrect about civil. He said I had a clear case for plagiarism. I'm not an attorney. I don't have my attorney present with me. But what he said was that even though you have clearly clear evidence showing plagiarism, which is a criminal offense as far as I understand, not just a civil offense, he said even though you have clear evidence that if you did all the steps that it would take to get this into a courtroom, you would be paying so much money to do that, that it's not worth it. Is that clear?
Yes, I've been in situations like that too, so I can understand where you're coming from. My only concern with the whole situation is she states in her rebuttal that she took down the information. Unfortunately, she's not here right now, but she did state that she took down the information and also completed more courses to be certified in the same courses that you have certification in?
No, it's not. No, sorry, excuse me, just one moment. No, the courses that she plagiarized are ones that I created, and she has not done certification through me, which is not really the issue. And when you take down information and when you say I've taken down the information, that is an admission that you have plagiarized. And that's illegal.
I have a question, and this is more for Mr. Harris. While all of these things seem valid and it's unfortunate, this seems outside of the scope of the revised statutes, Mr. Harris, of the practice and what the board is assigned to or charged with dealing with. Am I off base here?
Mr. Chairman, Member Marbs, you're not. What you would have to do is take a look at your acts of unprofessional conduct and determine if this is true, what it would constitute, what violation it would constitute. And there, you know, there isn't one specifically that addresses this. It would be different if there was a criminal conviction, because you definitely have a statute that talks about it's unprofessional to have been convicted of a felony. But in and of itself, no.
Okay. So plagiarism and doing things that are illegal are not considered unprofessional conduct, or you're saying that you can only consider that unprofessional conduct if somebody has a criminal record. Is that accurate?
And it's very difficult because I can't provide you legal advice. You've indicated that you've already sought counsel. What I'm trying to do is answer a board member's question regarding whether or not this is, you know, if this is something that could constitute unprofessional conduct. And I'm suggesting that the board would first have to take a look at their statute that defines unprofessional conduct and determine if there is a provision that would cover this. I'll leave that. And of course, members of the board, if you have any more, you know, questions, maybe it's, you know, better to entertain those in executive session.
Well, I would request that the board does look at the statute and see if there is a provision where you can deal with something like that. That would be my request. Sorry to interrupt.
No. And please understand, they do that in every case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to make a motion to go into executive session.
To seek legal counsel.
To seek legal counsel.
I'll second that.
This is Charlene Marks. I second.
Moved and seconded to go into executive session for legal advice. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Sean.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, leaving general session at 2:04 p.m.
And as a reminder, board members will leave this general session, and all public members of the public, please no side conversations. Ms. Selman will be monitoring.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, returning to general session at 2:14 p.m. Is there any additional discussion or questions from board members?
This is Sean. Is Ms. Story still present?
I believe Ms. Story may have left the call.
Okay. Well, then I have no other questions.
This is Shelley Donald. I'd like to make a motion. I move to dismiss this complaint.
I second that. This is Sean.
Moved and seconded to dismiss the complaint. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 7A3, the matter of Mr. Shane Johnson. Is Mr. Johnson here with us today?
Mr. Daly, Mr. Johnson was invited but had not responded to the board's invitation.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. In that case, I will provide just a very quick overview. So Mr. Johnson previously appeared before the board in June of 2023. It was a self-disclosure of felony charges regarding sex trafficking, sexual exploitation, and attempted sexual conduct with a minor. His level one fingerprint clearance card was suspended August 2023. Mr. Johnson entered into an interim consent agreement with the board and order for voluntary suspension of his license as an interim disposition of the matter. And that was signed by the respondent, Mr. Johnson, in November 27, 2023. So I do believe the matter before the board at this time is to make an official determination regarding his license. But Ms. Ganatra, would we do that under the subsequent agenda item with Mr. Johnson's name?
That's a great question, Mr. Daly. Yes, you can loop both items or review both items, I should say, during your motion.
Shall I proceed to the next agenda item then concerning him?
Or you can reference that item, Mr. Daly. And Mr. Harris, tell me if that is incorrect guidance, but you can reference that in the current item that you're in. So that way it can be reviewed together.
So at the present time, we're also reviewing agenda item 8, review consideration and possible action on applications for licensure. The matter of 8B, renewal reinstatement applications, item 2, Shane Johnson regarding his renewal disclosure.
So can I make a sorry.
Go right ahead.
I'd like to make a motion to go into executive session for this, please. For legal advice.
I second that motion.
Moved and seconded to go into executive session for legal advice. All in favor.
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, leaving open session at 2:21 p.m.
Thank you. And as a reminder, members of the public, please don't side conversations. Ms. Salmon will be monitoring.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Daly, Mr. Harris, you're still in a general session. Thank you.
All right, returning to open session at 2:33 p.m.
Mr. Daly, board members, if I could just make a correction to the last time we went to executive session, we returned at 2:17 p.m., not 2:14 p.m., just for the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. All right, so just to level set, we are currently on agenda item 8B2, the matter of Shane Johnson, renewal application disclosure. Any further discussion pertaining to this agenda item? Hearing no discussion, I would feel very comfortable making a motion to deny the renewal application, Mr. Shane Johnson, due to failure to meet the minimum requirements for licensure renewal, specifically due to noncompliance with ARS 32-3430 fingerprint clearance cards.
This is Shelley. I second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Kelly Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Now moving back to agenda item 7A3, complaint against Mr. Shane Johnson. Any further discussion pertaining to this agenda item?
No, I'd like to make a motion to dismiss this case, as Mr. Johnson is no longer licensed by us.
Period. I second that motion.
Moved and seconded to dismiss the complaint against Mr. Johnson due to non-licensure. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Okay, moving along our agenda items, we're up to 7B, review, discussion, and possible action of whether or not to open a complaint. We have none. 7C, review, discussion, and possible action on self-disclosure of actions. We have none. Moving on to agenda item 8, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure. 8A, initial applications. We have none. 8B, renewal reinstatement applications. We have the matter of 8B1, Vanessa Estes. Is Ms. Estes here with us today?
Present.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ms. Estes. I will just give a quick review of the matter and give you an opportunity to address the board if you so choose. And bear with me one moment while I open this up here. All right, so Ms. Estes, on January 16th, 2025, submitted a renewal application. During the application review, the licensing specialist found that Ms. Estes's fingerprint clearance card was restricted under ARS 41-1758. The restriction on Ms. Estes's fingerprint clearance card concerns an incident from February 26, 2022, in which she was cited for two violations, ARS 28-1758. 1381A1 DUI impaired to the slightest degree, and ARS 28-7704A speed and not reasonable and prudent with an approximate speed of 40 miles an hour in a 25 mile per hour zone. Of note, on June 6, 2022, all charges were dismissed with prejudice, and the matter before us is, it does not appear that Ms. Estes informed the board that of her charges in a timely manner, thereby violating ARS 32-3208. So that is why the matter is before us today. Ms. Estes, would you like to speak?
Mr. Chair, before we move on to Ms. Estes, in the board cover sheet, it talks about the charges were dismissed with prejudice, but the police records and court records seem to indicate that it was dismissed without prejudice, but the cover sheet says with prejudice. And I don't know if we need to get correction.
Thank you, Ms. Marks.
I apologize.
I saw the same thing, Charlene.
And I am looking at the court order now, and it does say granting the motion. All counts are dismissed without prejudice.
Prejudice, correct.
Thank you for catching that. So that will be corrected on our official meeting minutes record here.
Thank you.
And Ms. Estes, would you like to address the board at this time and provide any additional information or context?
I guess the only thing that I can really say is that I wasn't advised by my lawyer to disclose this to the board. I honestly didn't know that I was supposed to do that. And then when all the charges were dropped, I didn't realize that this was still something that was under consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Estes. Any questions from board members?
I do have one. Ms. Estes, you do have a valid fingerprint clearance card, correct?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
So providing the context again, the matter before us is the non-disclosure of the charges. And we have been working to be consistent in these matters in terms of fairness to all licensees. And in these cases, where there is a clear violation of the statute, we have been opening a complaint to address at a future meeting. Any discussion about that?
As far as it goes, the Mrs. Estes, when you were issued the blood tests, how soon did it come back that you were actually cleared?
I am not sure if I understand your question. I had the blood test done immediately after the arrest, and I wasn't advised of, I had hired a lawyer, so the lawyer was the one that kind of got that information and took that to court. So I'm not sure how quickly.
Okay. Do you know when you received the results? Was it within the first 10 days, a month, 2 months?
I got them very quickly, but I couldn't tell you how many days.
Mr. Daly, I do agree with you. For consistency, we have in the past. I think the issue here is exactly what you said. It wasn't disclosed.
I hate to say it, but can we go into executive meeting for our legal counsel?
Are we sure this isn't a discussion we can have in open session?
Well, my question is are all persons that receive a ticket responsible for disclosing that to the board? Speeding ticket.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the answer to that question lies in what the charges are. Mm-hmm. The statute is pretty specific what needs to be reported.
Okay. So with the accusations of the DUI, which were deemed false, that's why I was asking the date frame, because if she found the results before the 10 days, then would she still be required to report? That's why I was asking.
Yeah, Sean, the statute talks about 10 days from being charged, or so that's the operative. It doesn't talk about the ultimate disposition, because you're right, not everybody who's charged is found guilty, but that's not what the statute provides.
Okay.
So I hope that helped. Mm-hmm.
Any further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, keeping consistent with our best practices, I move to open a complaint against Ms. Estes for violation of ARS 32-3208.
This is Charlene Marps. I second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marps?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Ms. Estes, do you have any questions for us?
I just want to clarify, does this mean that I will be part of the agenda in the next month's meeting as well?
Ms. Estes, so the board will be in communication with you in terms of when your matter will be reviewed. We do need to notice you and allow you time to respond to the complaint and then bring it to the next board meeting from there. Based on the response. So it may not likely make it to the next board meeting. It may be the following.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Ms. Estes, for taking your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you again. Okay, moving on to agenda item 8B. No, so sorry. So agenda item 8B2 has been resolved. Moving on from there to agenda item 8C, renewal applications for denial for failure to submit a complete application. We have the matter of 8C1, Julie Pierce. And bear with me while I open this packet here.
And Mr. Daly, board members, Ms. Selman did drop a document in the packet that allows for the board members to review for decision making on these items. It's titled Board Agenda Item 8 as a supplemental document. I should have clarified. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, I neglected to ask, is Ms. Pierce with us here today?
Mr. Daly, board members, Ms. Pierce was invited but did not confirm attendance.
All right, so in very brief summary, on January 28th, 2025, Ms. Pierce submitted her renewal application. Board staff reviewed the application and issued a deficiency notice on January 31st, 2025 through the portal and via email. The notice informed Ms. Pierce that her fingerprint clearance card attestation was missing and that she lacked documentation or information pertaining to her Arizona Statement of Citizenship or Alien Status for Public Benefits form. On March 30th, 2025, Ms. Pierce responded to the board's follow-up and expressed that she no longer wishes to pursue her renewal application. Now for our consideration. So, and we are still missing those two items, the fingerprint clearance card and proof of citizenship. Any discussion?
No, I couldn't. I'd like to make a motion. This is Shelley Donald. I would like to move to deny Ms. Pierce's renewal, as she has failed to meet the requirements for licensure renewal. Specific statutes are ARS 32-3430 and 41-1080.
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 8C3, Haiti Blewett. Is Ms. Blewett here with us today?
Mr. Daly, board members, Ms. Blewett was invited but did not confirm attendance.
Board members, did we skip item number two?
You're right, Ms. Hellman. Let's move back. Very sorry about that. Agenda item, we are on agenda item 8C2, the matter of Teresa Montoya. Is Ms. Montoya here with us today?
Ms. Montoya was invited, however, she did not confirm attendance.
All right, considering that and very brief review, Ms. Montoya submitted her renewal application on January 3rd, 2025. Board staff reviewed the application and issued a deficiency notice on January 9th, 2025 through the portal and via email, informing Ms. Montoya that her Arizona Statement of Citizenship or Alien Status for State Public Benefits form was incomplete. Her fingerprint clearance card attestation and proof of citizenship status documentation pertaining to Arizona Statement of was also incomplete or deficient, as well as she was short 1.5 continuing education units. No response was received from Ms. Montoya. Any discussion?
Mr. Daly, I'd like to make a motion that we deny Ms. Montoya's renewal application based on the failure to produce the needed items for licensure, referencing the statutes of ARS 32-3430 and ARS 41-1080.
I second that motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Now we are moving on to agenda item 8C3, Hattie Blewett. And Ms. Blewett is not in attendance with us today. So in very brief review, looking at her packet, on January 24th, 2025, Ms. Blewett submitted a renewal application. Board staff reviewed the application and issued a deficiency notice on January 28th, 2025. Through the portal and via email, the notice informed Ms. Blewett that her fingerprint clearance attestation was deficient. On February 27th, 2025, Ms. Blewett reached out to the board to inform them that she had received a denial letter from the Department of Public Safety. So the application is now presented before us. She does not currently possess a valid fingerprint clearance card, indicating that she has failed to meet the requirements set forth in ARS 32-3430A. Any discussion?
Mr. John Williams, I would like to make a motion. I make a motion to deny the renewal of Mrs. Blewett's application based on the failure to have the fingerprint clearance card, which is ARS 32-3430.
This is Shelley Donald. I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 8C4, the matter of Sarah Watson. Is Ms. Watson here with us today?
Present.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ms. Watson. I will just give a brief overview of the matter and then give you an opportunity to address the board if you so choose. Forgive me while I am opening this packet. So the matter of Sarah Watson. On April 18th, 2024, Ms. Watson submitted her renewal application. Board staff reviewed the application and issued a deficiency notice on May 30th, 2024. Through the portal and via email, the notice informed Ms. Watson that her attestation for fingerprint clearance card was missing. On September 18th, 2024, Ms. Watson's renewal application was erroneously closed due to inactivity after approximately 5 months of being deficient. Ms. Watson was then informed that since her application was closed, she would need to submit a reinstatement application. And Ms. Watson's reinstatement application was approved on December 26th, 2024. Due to the error in closing Ms. Watson's renewal application without a denial from the board, her renewal application now needs to be denied by the board as Ms. Watson's license has been reinstated. The board staff is presented with this information to make a final decision regarding her renewal application. Ms. Watson, would you like to provide any additional context or information?
I do not have any additional information for that. My reinstatement was approved, and so I think this is just a closing out of that initial one, just to make sure everything's final and complete.
Thank you so much, Ms. Watson, and thank you for being here with us today. Any questions or discussion from board members?
No, actually, but well, sort of. I just don't know procedurally. We have to deny the license renewal? Just because I totally understand what's going on, but I just wasn't quite sure how to make a motion to do that so it doesn't sound weird because she is actually licensed.
Yeah, go ahead, Shannon.
Oh, I was just going to say that the renewal application didn't meet the minimum requirements, but the reinstatement did. Therefore, the renewal application would be needing to be considered for denial.
Thank you. That I didn't. Thank you. I wasn't sure which wording to use. Okay. This is Shelley again. I'd like to make a motion. I move to deny Ms. Whitney's license renewal for failing to meet the statutory requirements for license renewal as required by the state statute ARS
32-3430. Chris Daly, I second the motion. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much for joining us today, Ms. Watson, while we corrected this error with your application. Wishing you all the best.
I do have one thing to say. When you initially put that motion in, that was not my name. So I just wanted to make sure.
I'm so sorry. I just noticed that. Would you like me to withdraw that motion? And I literally, when you put, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. So I can withdraw that motion and redo it if you guys would like.
Just for the record, Ms. Donald.
I am so sorry, Ms. Watson. I looked at that and went, did you see my mouth go, oh my goodness. All right, Ms. Watson. I move to deny Ms. Watson's license renewal for failing to meet the statutory requirements pursuant to ARS
32-3430. Chris Daly, I second the motion. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Carrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you so much, Ms. Watson, for helping us with that correction.
And I'm so sorry again. That's what happened when I looked one place and my mouth was open in another. My apologies.
No worries. Thank you, Luke. Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to agenda item 8C5, the matter of Megan Whitney. Is Ms. Whitney here with us today?
Mr. Daly, board members, Ms. Whitney was invited but did not confirm attendance.
Okay, in that case, in very quick review, on June 5th, 2024, Ms. Whitney submitted her renewal application. Board staff reviewed the application and issued a deficiency notice on July 17th, 2024. Through the portal and via email, informing Ms. Whitney that her fingerprint clearance card attestation was missing. On August 30th, 2024, board staff attempted a follow-up email. No response was received from Ms. Whitney. On September 18th, 2024, Ms. Whitney's renewal application was erroneously closed due to inactivity after approximately 3 months of being deficient. Due to the error in closing Ms. Whitney's renewal application without a denial from the board, her renewal application now needs to be denied by the board. So the board staff is now presented with this information to make a decision on her licensure renewal. Any discussion? Or is there a motion? You're on a roll, Ms. Donald.
I wouldn't call that a roll, but I'm so embarrassed. Anyway. In the matter of Ms. Whitney, I move to deny Ms. Whitney's license renewal for failing to meet the statutory requirements for the license renewal as required by state statute ARS 32-3430, I believe.
Chris Daly, I second the motion. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
I'm having bandwidth issues here, but aye.
Thank you. Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Carrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 8C6, the matter of Alexis Rochelle. Is Ms. Rochelle here with us today?
Mr. Daly, board members, Ms. Rochelle did confirm attendance, but I do not see her on the call.
All right, in that case, and quick review. On March 19th, 2025, Ms. Rochelle submitted her renewal application. Board staff reviewed the application and issued a deficiency notice on April 1st, 2025.
Hello?
Hi, is this Ms. Rochelle?
Yeah, I was here. It just said I was muted from your end, so I had to do the star six thing.
Thank you so much, and thank you for joining us. Ms. Rochelle, I'm just going to give a quick overview of the matter and give you an opportunity to address the board if you so choose.
Thank you for joining us.
So in quick review, on March 19th, 2025, Ms. Rochelle submitted her renewal application. Board staff reviewed the application and issued a deficiency notice on April 1st, 2025, indicating the attestation to processing a valid fingerprint clearance card from the Arizona Department of Public Safety was deficient. On April 16th, 2025, board staff received a notification from DPS regarding the suspension of Ms. Rochelle's Level 1 fingerprint clearance card pursuant to ARS 41-1758.04C. The board staff reached out to Ms. Rochelle to inquire whether or not she would like to pursue her currently submitted renewal application and if she was taking the next steps with Department of Public Safety. In response, Ms. Rochelle expressed her intention to pursue her renewal application and indicated that she already submitted a request to the Department of Public Safety to have her fingerprint clearance card reinstated on April 6, 2025 through the good cause exception process. Ms. Rochelle, would you like to add any additional information or context to that?
I submitted a personal statement. I don't know if that was in the packet or not. But yes, I am making all attempts to get the fingerprint clearance card and in order to move forward.
And Ms. Rochelle, I'm assuming at this point you probably have not heard back from DPS yet. Is that fair to say?
Correct. I just heard that. Well, I looked it up and it says still in review, still processing.
Board members, we received the written statement yesterday from Ms. Rochelle, so we did add that to the packet. If you wanted to take a few minutes to take a look at that, should it be supportive, please feel free to.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. And while we're looking at that, Ms. Rochelle, in when those incidents of shoplifting occurred, I'm assuming you were charged with a misdemeanor. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And did you disclose that to the board?
No, because the letter that I received, it said it CC'd, and I was already in contact with the board regarding the fingerprint, because I had gotten an email, so I was responding back to the email regarding the letter.
To clarify, when that incident occurred in 2022 and you were charged with a misdemeanor, did you inform the board at that time that you were charged with a misdemeanor as per the statute?
I did not. I'm sorry. I was not aware. And I had a lawyer. I have a lawyer, and I was not sure I should do that. I didn't know. I've not gone through this process before, or been in this kind of situation before. So I just was not aware of what to do. So I was taking guidance from my attorney. I apologize if I was supposed to do that.
Thank you for that clarification.
And you do not have a fingerprint clearance card at this moment. Are you currently working?
I am employed as an OTA.
As an OTA, you're currently working now.
Yes. I didn't know I was supposed to not, because I didn't receive any notification. I just didn't know.
And I would like to make a motion to go in to executive session for legal advice. Okay. This is Shelley, by the way.
This is Charlene Mars. I second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, leaving open session at 3:09 p.m.
And as a reminder, board members will leave this session, and all members of the public, no side conversations. Ms. Selman will be monitoring.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?
There's no conversations at this time. They're in general session or executive session, so there can be no conversations. So when they return, they will resume.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Returning to open session at 3:18 p.m. Any further discussion regarding the matter of Ms. Rochelle? So just a little bit of a thought process here. When Ms. Rochelle previously renewed her license, it was at the time when we still were in the process of implementing the fingerprint clearance card requirement and investigation. So this renewal period would have been the first time that Ms. Rochelle was alerted to the fact that she had an issue with her fingerprint clearance card, and she has already been proactive in pursuing the good cause exemption application. And on the other hand, she also unknowingly did violate Arizona Revised Statute by not disclosing that misdemeanor charge when it happened. So two matters before us, keeping consistent with our processes and procedures for best practice in these situations, we do open a complaint regarding that violation. But aside from that, it also appears to me that Ms. Rochelle is currently doing her due diligence in pursuing her good cause exception for a fingerprint clearance card. And I would feel very comfortable continuing the matter of her renewal application until she finds out the determination of that fingerprint clearance card as to not put her out of work in the interim. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, I move to open a complaint against Ms. Rochelle for violation of ARS 32-3208.
What does that entail? I'm sorry.
Ms. Rochelle, we're in the middle of a motion, if you could please.
Oh, sorry.
Refrain. Thank you. You can ask.
This is Sean. I second that motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Hearing no additional discussion, I move to continue the matter of the renewal licensure application of Ms. Rochelle until such time that she finds out the status of her level one fingerprint clearance card.
This is Sean Williams. I second that motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Ms. Rochelle, I'm sure you have a question for us.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. For the complaint, what is the process for that?
So, Ms. Rochelle, the board... That... I apologize.
I'm sorry.
So the board staff will be in touch with you. We have to go through the complaint process. So we must notice you and allow you time to provide a response. And then we'll bring it back to the board for further review. Likely it will be the meeting after next, depending on when we receive your response and when we notice you.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Ms. Rochelle, for your time with us today. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, moving on to agenda item 9. Consent agenda, Review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure approved by the executive director. We have the matters of 9A, 56 initial applications, 9B, 137 renewal applications, and 9C, 4 reinstatement applications, all approved by the executive director. I move to ratify the 56 initial, 137 renewal, and 4 reinstatement applications that have been approved by the executive director.
This is Shelley Donald. I second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item 10, review, consideration, and possible action, board business and reports with Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. So I'm going to start with agenda item 10A, which is AAG training. This was placed on here as a way to inform the board again that if there's anything that you would like additional training from Mr. Harris, please send those requests my way, and we can ask Mr. Harris if he'd be interested or be willing to provide that information at another board meeting. Mr. Harris is kindly putting together a great presentation for next month to review board-related matters. So that might give some more context, but it's just very helpful, especially with the audit and ensuring we're ensuring compliance, that we go over any and all processes that are, you know, anybody has questions on. So
go ahead, Gina, I'm sorry.
That's okay, I was just saying, please send my way any questions or thoughts.
I want to categorize it as a great presentation, and I think it may actually be in June when we're in person, I thought.
Oh, you know, I apologize, Mr. Harris, you are correct. It is in June.
I thought it would be better. It's just a little bit easier, you know, to have that interaction. I mean, if everybody's okay with that.
It's fantastic. Thank you for...
I'll understand if I send no more jokes, so I'll behave.
No, I was waiting for it. I was waiting for it, because if you weren't going to make one, I was.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, I will move on then to 10B, which is bills to watch. There are a few updates on the bills. Once again, this is just an inform and for your ability to review, but it does appear that one bill in particular we were watching was recently signed by the governor, and that is, I believe it's SB 1235. And specifically, that bill was the board composition. It actually included a few items, board composition, licensing fee flexibility, and operational efficiency measures. So essentially the bill discussed the structure of the board members and the qualifications and the intent to include two retired members as a part of the composition of the board. So that did pass, along with the information in the bill that it authorized administrative adjustments to licensing fees. So essentially it...
What was the number again? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's at SB 1235.
1235?
Yeah. I see that it passed on April 18th, if I'm not mistaken.
Has it been signed?
I believe that's what I was reviewing for my research.
Okay. Yeah. I'll try to find out in real time here.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So with that, it also included the ability for the board to adjust licensing fees as deemed appropriate. So for instance, if the board is appropriated so much funds to utilize, then the board can look to increase the fees to utilize the funds. Let's say, for instance, if there's an increase or an influx in licensees, Or vice versa, if there is, the board's not appropriated certain funds and we're continuing to see a growth in the fund balance, we could consider reducing fees to licensees as a response to that. So it appears to give a bit more flexibility in that regard, in both ways. And then the last effort in that is to consider putting together what is like an oversight committee, where I believe if the composition is the same as it was discussed at the meeting, would be to essentially transition different directors in the role of auditing and ensuring compliance of all boards in terms of consistency, and conformity in a way where we there isn't a lot of discrepancy between boards with things that are to be conformed. Obviously, there's statutes and rules that differ in regards to, oh, I think we lost Mr. Harris. There are different statutes and rules to be followed in that process, but typically there's some standardization in terms of how things are reviewed. And so they're trying to ensure that everything is consistent in that regard. Mr. Harris, any update that you could find? And feel free to interrupt me at any time if you do. I would greatly appreciate that. Otherwise, the other bills are still being considered.
He's on mute. I think he was talking, but he was muted.
Oh, Mr.
Sorry. Thank you for that, Charlene.
I
can't find where it's been signed by the governor. So I just can't speak to that. I'll continue. If I have any information, I'll let you know.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
I have a question. Which one is this? 1235. Mm-hmm. That you said you thought that one had been signed and passed. That's the one that changes the configuration to more non-professional members than professional members. Am I correct on that?
I believe they revised it to include to allow for the three professional members and two public since the last time we spoke. And but the thing is now the requirement is two of those individuals would be retired.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, I was trying to find the most recent one, and I guess I clicked on one, the most not recent one. Sorry about that.
No. And apologies for any hoopla if Mr. Harris corrects me, if he finds that that is not true. Hopefully we can pursue and proceed from there. But from my research, it did appear that it may have been.
I just can't confirm that. I'm not seeing it.
That's okay. We can always bring this to the next meeting. Just to
yeah.
Determination. There's a lot of bills that are kind of going back and forth right now. So
yeah, keep me in the loop, Shane, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, of course.
And likewise. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions on bills? Okay, then I will move us to Mr. Daly's chairperson's report under item 10C. If any updates.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. A couple quick updates. So we did have the annual business meeting of the Occupational Therapy Compact Commission on April 16th, 2025. And all of those rules that we were chatting about over the last few months did pass. So the fiscal year 25 budget, the rule on FBI criminal background checks, the rule on OTC fees, member state implementation, national exam definition, all passed. So just in quick review, most relevant, what does this mean for us? Looking at the rule that passed for member state implementation, most important for our radar moving forward is now that this rule is passed, we are responsible now to A, fully implement the FBI criminal background check requirement established in the implementation of criminal background check rule. And important to note before that, actually, implementation by new member states, it clearly states that a member state cannot participate in issuing or recognizing compact privileges to practice until such member state has completed all of the following requirements. So that is A, fully implement the FBI CBCs. B, require continuing competence and education for renewal applications. Utilize a recognized national examination as a requirement for licensure. And D, fully implement the requirements of the data system reporting requirements rule. So each one of those might be good to, I'll put a brief for next meeting under this update, A, B, C, and D, just to see what that means for us and what we need to have on our radar most importantly.
Thank you, Mr. Daly.
Any questions about any of the OT Compact?
Are you aware if other states have already started the process, or did they discuss which states?
I don't remember which ones, but there are a number of states who are actually piloting it right now. So they're piloting the app that's used for the licensure, and they are in the process of doing user testing and getting feedback to make it kind of the best user experience possible. So they are actively doing that right now.
Thank you. That's really good to know.
Sure. Thank you. Back to you, Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. So I will move on then to 10D1, which is our review of the sunset audit progress. So we are still currently through the ongoing process of the audit. We do get requests, and we have been trying to get to them as quickly as possible. With that being said, we do meet periodically, I believe monthly, with the Auditor General's office and the auditor team that's based in California to further discuss the audit findings. I'm actually wondering if that's something I can bring to the board as it develops, which I suspect so. So I'm happy to do so at the next board meeting, if that's the case, just to let the board know of some of the audit findings that have progressed. Any questions on that? Okay, then I'll move on to 10D2, which is financial review. Our staff did put in a most recent report. It does demonstrate we're in the black. We are coming very close to the end of fiscal year, as you all are aware. We do find out soon what our next fiscal year budget will be. I did put in multiple appropriation requests, and one being a licensing specialist. And I have been working with OSPB to attempt to allow them to understand the need and the necessity for the support. And so I'll continue to do so, and I'm hoping that we do see some sort of granted appropriation, but we don't know, and we may not know until the end of the fiscal year. Any questions on that or the report itself? Okay, then I'll move on to 10D3, which is review of recent board staff activities. Hoping to summarize this a bit, but apologies for the length of information. So just mentioned previously, we are working through the audit findings and information, and that does take board resources. Recently, we had a staff member who was out on family emergency leave. She has since returned, but knowing that overseeing the two boards, we've really had only just two full-time functioning staff. So we are actually still, with that being said, still keeping up very well with the application processes. And I can give you some statistics. Currently, we have zero initial submitted applications. We have 42 that are pending final approval for me, and we have 19 that are deficient. With renewals, we have 49 that are submitted. We have 94 that are pending final approval, and that was down from approximately 200. And then we have 72 which were deficient. And as a reminder to those on the call, and as previously stated, if you are a renewal applicant and you submit prior to your expiration date, you can continue to practice as per the statute. If you need a letter, you can request that from the board, and the board will provide you with an extension letter. But knowing that you can continue to practice should hopefully provide you with some ease. In addition, it does not require a board meeting in order to approve an application. Applications are on a rolling basis, whether that's a renewal, a reinstatement, or an initial application. Therefore, even if you're not seen on the agenda today, that does not mean that your application will not be approved. These applications that are left and remaining will likely be processed by this or next week. So that way, you know, that gives some hopefully clarity for those on the call and for those listening in. For reinstatements, we have zero that are recently submitted. We have three that are pending final approval, and we have two that are deficient. So we are keeping up. Staff is doing a great job of keeping up with applications, keeping in mind that training still is ongoing because, you know, it's a new processes, and, you know, if things are caught by me as I'm reviewing, I do have to make that note to notice to the individuals through the licensing specialist. And so sometimes, even if an application isn't pending final approval, if something is still missing and may not have been reviewed, that's why we have a secondary reviewing process. But typically, we are able to turn those applications around once it's identified, as long as the individual gives us what's necessary in a timely manner. Some items that we do see that typically comes up quite often is sometimes individuals are submitting two applications. That's not as common as we're used to see, but we're trying to see a way to get that better communicated, so individuals aren't going in and, for instance, going into the renewal application portal, submitting their renewal, and then going into the initial application portal, which they also have access to, and then submitting an initial application. It does confuse the board and, you know, causes more rework and investigation. It could potentially delay the process of processing applications. So that's why we're just trying to combat that as best as we can. We're also seeing things in terms of legal name versus preferred name. So the application in itself, as per statutes and rules, we'll start to ask the question of the preferred or the name as you wish to appear in your license. However, when we're processing an application, we have to ensure that it does match the legal government name. And so those are things that we are seeing as things we have to bring back to the individuals. Every piece of documentation has to match. We understand when there's a marriage or divorce and there's certification to demonstrate that, and we can obviously review and determine, for instance, if CEUs are in the previous name prior to their name change. We obviously can make exceptions in that way, but anything that should be in the legal name must be. And so we do a deficiency notice quite a bit for those items. And just for an example, the fingerprint clearance card, it seems to be, from what I'm hearing from my staff and others that are applying, a quicker process for the actual card, but also if there's a name change, that typically is a day or two turnaround. I mean, every person is different, but it doesn't seem to be delaying the process further. The only delays are when we're not being notified of the changes of the name prior to reviewing. If someone submits a name change prior to the system application and we can demonstrate that it was there, but the application itself didn't make the change, we make the exception for that because that's not the individual's fault. The system does have flaws and can make mistakes like that. But if we're not notified of the name change and the individual submits the name in the incorrect name, they must go back and resubmit a new application. Obviously, the payment is something that, you know, because of the discrepancy in the name, we still consider that and allow for the payment to be accepted for the application. However, the application itself would not be accepted with the incorrect name. Some other things that you've probably seen as you were doing the review of your the applications past the 45-day time frame are continuing education. The citizenship alien right to work form typically is not always filled out to completion, or proof of citizenship isn't received. Proof of citizenship with a citizenship alien right to work form specifies which documents are required or allowed. If someone submits an item that does not have a photo ID on it, then we just ask that they also supplement with a photo identification. And then score transfers, it seems to be a better flowing process. We've updated the website to completely provide the exact guidance of what's necessary and where to look for these items, such as fingerprint clearance card, NBCOT score transfer, et cetera. So I believe that's been helping to facilitate individuals getting the information that's necessary ahead of time, which allows my staff to then process the application quicker. So that is good, but obviously that's still things that sometimes are outstanding and deficient based on the timeframes and whatnot. We do work with our applicants. You know, if we can determine that they did their due diligence to obtain what's necessary, we don't automatically bring them to the board if they are able to demonstrate that they're attempting to comply. But, you know, once we don't hear a response or we're unable to determine that anything is moving forward, that's when it's typically brought to the board for review by the board members. Let's see. Okay. And then so I'll move on to Centia because that's a bit hefty in terms of information. So as you all are all aware, Centia has had issues historically, and we are still awaiting portal migration issues. However, there has been movement, and we're very thankful for that. So we have been meeting almost weekly with at least either the developer or the coordinator, the project manager. And with that, we discuss outstanding items, we discuss what's still missing, and we also discuss what problems we're seeing in the system. We've put in quite a few tickets with the help of staff that demonstrates all the problems that have occurred, but we still see ongoing, and I'll give some examples. So for instance, when items are being pushed through to development from Sandbox, which is the play environment where they build these items, there seems to be some reversions, and we've noticed that and have been notifying Centia as we're seeing it. For instance, just yesterday, we identified that an individual was approved by me in early April, and the dates approved it pushed her to 25 to 27 renewal period, and for some reason it reverted her license to 2017 to 2019. And then because it showed that, the system then turned her to expired. So luckily we identified that. We're continuing to look to see what's going on. We pulled in our third-party developer who helps assist with this process, and he is supporting us in our initiatives for putting in the tickets. So for those instances, we just have to manually adjust the dates. But unless the board is made aware, it's a bit difficult. We're trying to see if reports can be pulled to try to determine if that happened to anybody else. And that does seem to be specifically a glitch in the Centia system. Another item that was occurring is, which we put a ticket in, is when I'm going to make approvals, and typically I try to do them in batch approvals, they're not sticking. The approvals are not processing, and the licenses aren't making changes to the dates. So then I identified that and had to retroactively process or adjust those administratively, because, of course, those were processed, but Centia's system isn't actually accepting that. And we're hearing that that's not only our board's concern, other boards are also having that issue as well, which is the nice thing to have a third-party developer who works with other boards. He's able to kind of corroborate some of those things we're seeing. Centia is made aware. Another issue that we've also identified is PDFs of the individual's application not generating appropriately. And that ticket's been ongoing for almost a year or greater. It is very random in terms of when PDFs generate and when they don't, but the overarching statement I received from Centia is that that Thentia is not great with certain browsers and is not great on the mobile site, which is to me a bit goofy because the reason for a lot of the push to Thentia and whatnot is the accessibility of things such as applications and being able to do so on a cell phone, which, you know, I still would find kind of hard to fathom doing all of it on a cell phone, but some people can and do, and that's the reasoning is because it's supposed to make it easy and accessible and mobile. But it seems to cause issues for generating PDFs is what they're believing. It really shouldn't be. Really, everything should be working smoothly, but that's just something that's identified as a concern that they're investigating. We don't have a solution. It's still an active and ongoing issue. It's not happening for everybody, and it's not happening on a consistent basis, but it does still happen quite a bit in terms of, like, periodically and randomized. So we don't really have a solution just yet. And then in regards to data and attachments, so ADOA Asset, who is our who was helping us maintain Salesforce prior to the move to Thentia, and who, of course, does our technology needs, et cetera, they did confirm that some of the items that were supposed to be pulled back about a year and a half, 2 years ago, did not get pulled, for instance, complaints. So there's the issue of whether ADOA Asset properly pulled the information and gave it to Thentia, and whether Thentia is properly configuring the information and mapping it into the new system. And so because of the disconnect, there was parts where ADOA Asset didn't pull the necessary information like we thought they originally did, because they're all in spreadsheets. So of course, spreadsheets and the way that they do it isn't the ability of the board to be able to corroborate a lot of that information. And then whether or not when they Thentia received ADOA Asset's reports, if they were properly mapping them to be seen and even be utilized in the system. So it's a two-part issue here, and we're seeing some parts where ADOA Asset did state that they didn't pull it properly and are now addressing it in real time. Or Thentia did confirm that they didn't map it properly. But I'm just very thankful that we're all working together to get this all resolved, because now we're all on the same page and they're finally listening and trying to ensure we have a very smooth functioning system. Any questions on that process? And then just in terms of the working structure, the board staff is still working hybrid model, so 2 days from home and 3 days in office. Of course, board meeting days, we are in office. And we still are able to utilize the support of our staff from the AT board, who does assist us with the financial pieces of things. And she's actually supported the board in saving some funding by kicking on some of the financial pieces. So I'm very thankful for that. That then allows for opening of funding, should it be necessary. All right, I'm hoping I didn't miss anything, but I will move on then to 10D4, which is statistics. Under item one, we have 4 out-of-state telehealth registrations. And then under item two, we have 4,693 current active licensees, of which 3,269 are occupational therapists, 1,423 are occupational therapy assistants, and 1 is an occupational therapy assistant limited licensee. Any questions? Otherwise, I'll move it back to Mr. Bailey. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. All right, moving on then to agenda item 11, agenda items for the next meeting. Anything to add?
Mr. Daly, just the items about the compact that you plan to provide us likely will be just whatever you identify. We'll bring it to the board meeting.
And Ms. Ganatra, do we need for that, do we need something additional to the standing item that we have on there?
Oh, I believe so, Mr. Daly, if it's a consideration for like a statutes and rules exam. I'm not sure if that's something we have to vote on or review. I may have mistakenly misheard, so forgive me. It might be premature.
Just in case, can I email that over to you, those items? Okay.
And then we can go from there. Thank you. Yes.
Anything additional? Any additional discussion or questions? Hearing nothing additional, I move to adjourn our meeting at 3:54 p.m.
I second that, it's Shelley.
Moved and seconded, all in favor.
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.